listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 10, Episode 21 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are, of course, Bar One Betting. Lots going on again this week. Of course, the World Cup continuing. The Pico Lopez story rolls into the last 32 where he'll meet Leo Messi. Of course, speaking of Messi, we had a trip to Tralee on Friday, which I'm sure you're all keen to hear about. Of course, Joey O'Brien departing Shelburne, the Ring Mahon Rangers situation in the FAI Cup, and lots of transfer talk as well with the 1st of July fast approaching. So we've got a lot to get through. We're going to do a bit of a chalkboard segment at the top of the show and pick through those key topics. We'll touch on some of the games from last week as well, and then we'll get stuck into the Predictions League, the Charity Bet and the Hotline throughout the course of the show. Gary, how is it going? We're into the knockout stages of the World Cup. It's getting that bit more enjoyable.
It is, yeah. I think the biggest point about the group stages were that the serious lack of jeopardy going into the
very much so
final round of games. And even from the second game on, you know, if a team had won the opener, well, not like Scotland or anything like that, but like, you know, teams that might have thought that they would have gone a bit further could have like took their foot off the gas. But then we had a few major casualties there yesterday. Germany, which I didn't think were actually going to do very much. I did get them in the old work sweepstakes yoke.
Tuesday were brutal.
They were shite. Yeah, they were shite. And then
Netherlands went out overnight.
As well. Yeah. I've thought some, obviously the penalty situation was great for Paraguay. Looking at some of the celebration videos from the Paraguayan community all around the world, it was great stuff.
It was a very dramatic penalty shootout, which was great because the 120 minutes was fairly shite, to be honest.
It was dire.
Been some dire knockout games so far. I said it's getting a bit more exciting, but that's just because of the stakes. But the first game, South Africa, Canada, again, you just think, Jesus Christ, this is such a missed opportunity for us.
Yeah, absolutely. But particularly, I would say, I'm kind of realizing how many countries I hate. You know, I'm looking for most of the team, both teams to lose if at all possible. But like some of the games have been really good. I think there's a real, you know, we have throw-in coaches and all these statisticians and other, you know, diseases on the game. It might be a good idea to have a penalty kick taking coach. I've said it many times I have said it on the pod, but like Jamie Vardy should just open a school of penalty kick taking. Blast the ball into the back of the net normally works. I thought some of the penalties are absolutely atrocious. And deservedly, teams went out in the back of it. Well, obviously, someone's going to lose, but I thought some of them were extra bad. But yeah, look, I think the Netherlands Morocco game, you know, this Moroccan team by and large got to semi final of the last World Cup. Like, these are no mugs. And it seemed like the Dutch team kind of thought they might be, and they duly went out. I don't know what Germany are going to do. I'm actually delighted for Nagelsmann. I think he's a pure con artist.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, well, if anybody watched the, you know, Didi Hamann, obviously as a former German international, made a few comments like the preparation was non-existent, really. Like, he was even mentioning that all the major managers had gone over to events in the United States in the stadiums that they knew they'd be playing in to, you know, see what was going on. They got tours of the stadium. We got all this little stuff. And I'm not, like, that's not the be all and end all. But I suppose it shows like the level of preparation that you're looking at and the stuff that you're doing to prepare your team and your side for a successful competition, and he didn't do any of those things. I think sounds like he'd be better off doing a bit of, you know, like opposition team analysis or something like that, rather than managing a major international team.
Very good. The Cape Verde story continues. Argentina coming up now on Friday. It was a bit of a bizarre setting for us. We were watching them in a nightclub in Tralee the other night at like 1 a.m. against Saudi Arabia. Great to see the story continuing.
Certainly is. It's a fantastic achievement. Shout out to all the academy funding shaggers. No one came back to me after I made that comment about maybe Cape Verde has a couple of hundred UEFA pro licensed coaches there setting up football over there. But I think what I've often said before is the intangibles that are coming true, particularly against, you know, when you're basically expected to get obliterated in every single game that you play. And you have to come up with something to drag yourself to a successful outcome as best you can. And, you know, there's been loads of examples of that, even like the equalizer last week, where the keeper, whatever his name is, Musiala or whatever it is, came out where he shouldn't have come out. And like the striker, whoever it was, I can't remember his name, just chested it down and buried it. You know, he didn't like take a touch. He didn't, you know, I can chip three lads that are running back towards the goal. He just kicked it into the back of the net. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just more raw, more and very enjoyable. Apart from it being a great story, it's just enjoyable to watch. I have a question for you. I don't know if you'd. This is just based off a tweet which I thought was moderately interesting. Now it could be just pure shite, but I just remembered it from scrolling this morning. One thing that was being talking about the Germany Paraguay game, and do you think that like maybe it's a European game has just become so systemified, you know, phases of play and setting traps and you know, all this shit, and where the Paraguayans, I'm not saying that they're not able to do tactics, but the tweet point was like they still think that the one-on-one duel is still as important as it ever was.
Fair point.
And that Germany couldn't really shake with that. I don't know if that's that interesting of a point, but I was like,
no it is, it's definitely
like maybe like the infection of the system that we have in European football and you know, the garbage XG and stats and, you know, how many sprints a lad had in 10 minutes in the second half or whatever other shit that does be produced. It seems like the one thing, like it seems a bit more football as we like it coming with, we'll say, from Paraguay in a way.
They're just the lowest block you've ever seen.
I know that. I'm not disputing that at all. I just thought it was an interesting point. Maybe something for another day, or maybe.
Yeah. No, fair enough. We'll probably get to our trip to Tralee a little bit later on.
No, we won't. It'll never happened.
We'll get to the more serious stuff. Joey O'Brien, that happened quite quickly in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, I think teams don't release stuff until we either pod record it.
That is common theme down the years, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I don't know whether I'm surprised or not. In a way, I am. I definitely thought he'd get the Sligo game as an opportunity to, you know, their away record is quite good. Sligo team not necessarily totally underperforming considering their squad and budget, but I thought they might, you know, be able to turn them over.
Regardless of the Sligo game, I think it's more surprising maybe happening a couple of weeks out from Europe, given the experience he had from last season. He guided them through the... Now, they obviously had a bit of fortune with the drawn Linfield twice, but when they even got to the group stage, I know they didn't actually score a goal, but they played quite well. They were set up quite well. I think everyone spoke about what a well-coached and drilled team they were. Even before he got the manager's gig, we were always hearing about, oh, Joey O'Brien is, you know, the real brains trust here. He's such a good coach. Now, we've said it time and time again, you know, there's a big difference between a good number two and becoming a good manager. And couple of stories out there that maybe he needs to work on certain elements of, I don't know, man management, etc.
Well, there was kind of murmurings about a bit of a sort out after the game the previous week. Obviously, that's just rumour. But I think, like...
I was just surprised...
Sorry, just on that, I know, like, you want a bit of fiery, you know, passion after a result like that, but does it kind of show that there was a bit of a loss of the dressing room to a degree that might have filtered into the decision?
It's difficult to know. I mean, they went to Sligo and dug out a result, but they didn't win in Sligo. They're still giving away cheap goals, so it's too early probably to say. I just going back to my other point, I'm just surprised about the timing more than anything. And I mean, I know he was under pressure, but when you compare it to some of the noise that has surrounded the likes of Tiernan Lynch and even Alan Reynolds at times this season, he didn't seem to be under as much pressure as those two. And it just came out of the blue in that sense, really. But was
it more, though, like there was just other people that were like kind of lightning rods to be under more pressure? Like Tiernan Lynch, deservedly under a heap of pressure, and maybe Joey was just going underneath the radar because the away form was quite good. Mid-table. And it only kind of crept out. Like, remember, like we've been talking for a few weeks about the home form. Was that maybe like covered over by their like mid-table position heading into Europe? Good days are coming.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Camille, in terms of replacements, we were kind of chatting about this the other day when we were heading down to Tralee. You don't have that, I suppose, roundabout now of, or merry-go-round of managers like maybe years ago. There's not as many names. A few of the names I threw your way, obviously Stephen Rice has been linked, but I couldn't see that happening given the job that he's currently in.
I think that'll be a terrible decision, especially with Duffer going in there. You know, you kind of have a nice little gang. It's like Enid Blyton story over there at the minute. Like, it's I don't think it'd be
I think if they could get him, it'd be obviously a brilliant appointment, but let's put a line through Rice. I don't think that's going to happen. Then you're looking, I suppose there was other Paul McShane, etc. mentioned. I don't know as much about what he's been doing coaching wise.
Just on Paul McShane, I believe he's been quite successful at underage with Manchester United.
Okay.
Now, don't quote me on that. There shouldn't be any Manchester United fans listening to this podcast, but please correct us if you have heard that.
Okay, so he's a possibility perhaps, but again, is he going to leave a position like that to come home to Ireland? Not so sure.
Yeah.
Just looking within the league, Kevin Doherty would be very high up on my shortlist. Obviously, they're not having a great season by their usual standards, Drogheda, but he's achieved brilliant things there on a shoestring budget, and he's a Shelburne man as well. Then you're looking around the league, managers that are out of work. Keith Long, I don't know, would that be a popular appointment with Shelburne fans or not? Didn't work out fantastically for him at Waterford last time. Is there any other names we're overlooking there? I know Keith Tracy put Roddy Collins forward as a potential runner, as much as I'd love to see that. That's never going to happen either, so... There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of viable candidates for this job.
Are you discounting Keith Long just because of the Bose history?
Bose history, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't look too deeply into that, to be quite honest. We've often said before, there's 20 jobs in the country. You know, if you didn't want to, I used to manage Bose for years, what are you going to do? Not take Pat's shells? You know, you're going to take a heap of jobs. just because you managed a team before, particularly with the merry-go-round situation there. I actually texted one of the lads there the other day if Bose were going to congratulate Pico for getting to one of their former players getting to the knockout stages of the World Cup. He did not respond. But I think there's too few jobs in the country and too few opportunities that you can't just go, sorry, I'm not taking that because of X.
So I don't think
Keith Long would be that bad of a shout. I think he could definitely steady the ship. I can't really think of anybody else that's kind of knocking around, though. Is there?
No, that's,
like Roddy,
that's my
not really. Yeah, that's like John Daly, unfortunately, just not the right time. What about, what's your man? He's managed Cork. Andrada. He's on the telly.
Tim Clancy.
Yeah.
No, he's the reason he stepped away from Cork was to focus on his business, opened a gym.
Oh yes, absolutely. But it's open now. he doesn't have to drive to Cork.
Yeah, no, couldn't see that.
Okay. Well, I suppose like that says a lot in itself.
I think of all the names we mentioned there, I think Doherty is top of the list for me.
I think Doherty is top of the list. Might be a good idea for a bit of a reset to a degree for him. There's been a lot of garbage going on. Missed out on European football. Might be nice to be getting on a plane to go somewhere quite soon. Probably maybe one thing that he's missing in his arsenal is the European experience. But obviously that's not overly common in the League of Ireland.
No.
Another option for Keith Long, though. He does have that experience.
Mm. Interesting to see what Shells fans make of that chat there. Drop us a tweet if you've got any other names in mind. Other big story of the last few days, Ringmahon Rangers pulling out of the FAI Cup.
Yep.
I was surprised, I have to say, by the level of reaction that this has brought. People seem really, really effed off with this. Lots of people calling for serious punishment for Ringmahon, including banning them from the Cup for the next couple of years. Etc. What's your take on it?
Just so we set it out, the reason for it is because it clashes with the All Ireland hurling final.
That was the tone of an article that was put out. Okay. Ringmahon Rangers have released a statement since then. They've explained that they initially tried, so they're not allowed to host it in their own stadium.
Yeah,
they tried to get Turner's Cross, wasn't available. Looked at other venues, including St. Coleman's, and they felt because it was clashing with the hurling, the World Cup final later in the day, that it wouldn't be viable financially for them to rent these stadiums and maybe have a very small crowd coming. They put forward alternative dates to the FAI, including the Friday, but that's no good because Bows are going to be playing in Europe on the Thursday.
Be played by a certain time.
Yeah, well, they said they'll play at any time before the next round, but that was a non-runner for the FAI. One thing they don't see, I'm just flicking through the statement very briefly again here, doesn't seem to be any mention of them offering to flip the fixture like we've seen with a couple of cup ties. Why they couldn't reverse this to Daly Mount if players being unavailable because they're going to the hurling or going wherever else, play at 12 o'clock in Daly Mount Park and you still can still go to Croke Park.
Or like we'll say, we have seen games earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I think Bows played Rovers at 11 o'clock one morning.
They did.
I think like, it sounds like, I did miss out on that statement actually, so thanks for that. I think it sounds like, what's that mean? Modern, or it's maybe not modern, or it's not a meme. I think it's Dave Chappelle, you know, modern problems require modern solutions. And one of those was flip the game up to Daly Mount. The other thing is, I'm sure Bows would have, that would have suited Bows. They don't have to travel then down to.
I'm sure Bows would have let them keep the 60-40 split.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And even if you want, all right, lads, look, you know what? Yeah, it's a pain in our hole as well. We'll do 50-50.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks very much. Great to get it. We're going to fill out like, what good would have an empty St. Coleman's Park or an empty Turner's Cross have done for Ringmahon Rangers? No. Even if they got it for nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many people would have went to that game with Cork being in, or not? I know they're not in the All-Ireland final yet. But like, you know, lots of people would be going to the All-Ireland final that day and probably breaking their neck to get home for the World Cup.
Mm.
So, as you correctly mentioned, okay, we load up the car, we get the sandwiches and the cup of soups into the car at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning. We head up to Derrymount for that game, kick off 11:30. Tip up the road then to Croke Park.
Yeah.
What would have been wrong with that?
Nothing.
Like, and I'm sure Boas would have reasonable common sense to support that. It's a shame that doesn't have appear to have happened.
I think this is the issue I have with it, and we can get back to the reaction in a second, but so that's what, look, maybe they'll come out and say, no, we did offer to flip it and that was rejected or whatever. I highly doubt that's the case, but to me, it doesn't, and this is a bit like what we talked about with Galway recently, where we felt other efforts could have been made.
Yeah.
I feel the same with Ringmahon. Even if they couldn't get the reverse or the fixture reverse, if they couldn't get the venue they wanted, right?
Right.
Play the game. Let whoever's going to Croke go to Croker. Sure, Ringmahon, I'm sure that they're a big club down there. Surely they have some young fellas who would cut off their little finger to play against Bohemians.
Well, cut off their left bollock to do it, I'd say. Never mind little finger, like, yeah.
Like, to just decide, we're not playing this game. That reflects extremely poorly on the club.
It does. I think they're, you know, as I said, stuff can be worked out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not unreasonable to do that. Like, you know, it doesn't suit Baldoyle to play Longford in the cup, so Longford are playing at, or it's been switched to Longford, and as part of that deal, that game's going to be on at 5 p.m. instead of Longford Town's normal kickoff of 7:30 p.m. You know, you can just get on the phone with a bloke, yeah, go, well, lad, what do you think about this? Oh, jeez, yeah, it doesn't suit us. Well, can we work with us? Yes, we can, and that's the size of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I think there is, you know, sniffs of John Caulfield. This happened and that happened, and I don't like taking left turns, so I have to go down to Cork instead, or some other assorted bullshit. I think it could have been worked out. Now, I would say on one hand, it seems like there was a lot of, from what you said at the statement, a bit of like digging in over this, like it's not a good look for like the FAI having this go on, and it's another it's another cross to bear for all the people that say that these non-league teams can shake it up in the,
you took
first
words
division.
Out of my mouth. Yeah.
And Ringmahon Rangers are one of the biggest non-league clubs, like they're a big operation.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you've just really shown your hand here. Like, yeah, just not next or near it. Pitch or off it. So it's disappointing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And it's a great headache out of Boas's mind as well. That's fantastic.
Yeah, sure is. Elsewhere, as I said, July 1st is fast approaching. By the time most people tune into this, it will be July 1st. Speaking of Boas, Harry Vaughan signing permanently until the end of the season. That got people a bit excited when they seen he signed permanently and then found out only until the end of the season. Better to have him than not have him. I think the big story, though, aside, we'll get to Rovers in a minute. They've been linked with Afolabi. But Dundalk, from reading some comments from Kieran Kilduff today, it almost sounds like he's already conceded the fact that he's going to lose a Ruby in this window, and they are fighting tooth and nail to try and keep a hold of Owen Kenny as well. Now, Danny Mullen has been ruled out for a long-term period with injury, so they're without him. Looks like they're going to lose a Ruby. They could lose Kenny as well. This could be a disastrous window for Dundalk after such a great start to the season.
Yeah, they're two obviously key players, to say the least. Particularly, Ruby's had such a fantastic impact this season. And I look, in a way, he does deserve
the opportunity. It's just a nightmare for Dundalk and their attack on the European spots that there's there in the table.
Because we had the conversation on last week's show about Dundalk and whether they might even get into the title race. Now, those hopes were probably dashed last Friday when they lost to Waterford, but we both felt that they can most certainly sustain this assault on the European places. But if they lose a Ruby and Kenny,
I think
that's going to be tough to recover from.
I think that's going to be a nightmare to recover from. Mm-hmm. How do you replace not even the goals, but like the, you know, I think Owen Kenny has a bit of a swagger on the pitch. You know, he has a great confidence in himself. Ruby just doesn't stop.
They're both match winners. They're essentially players that have been difference makers this
games.
Season.
Yeah,
100%. And like Dundalk, this isn't the Dundalk of the old where they can go out and cherry pick the best talent within the league.
Yeah,
where are they going to get if they want to sign from within the league? Now, in fairness to Kieran Kilduff, he's done a great job of bringing in players from other clubs. You think of particularly Tyreek Wilson. I don't think Shells would have let him go if they felt Dundalk were going to be this bit much of a threat to them in terms of Europe.
Yeah.
He was discarded by Shells, went to Dundalk. He's been a great signing for them. There's other examples of players that Mullen, exactly. Yeah, he has recruited well from within the league, but essentially Dundalk are going to be signing fringe players. They're not going to go out and sign the top players from other teams like they used to be able to do back in the day. Either that or they're going to have to go to the UK. And as you know, it's completely unknown what you're getting there.
Well, look, they have endless numbers of contacts in the Scottish Highland League or Scottish Shetland League or whatever league does be up there. The one thing that might be in the favour would be, well, maybe I'm overblown it a bit, but like maybe Kieran Kilduffo, you know, he's played with a lot of players. Would he have a few contacts in the UK, similar to like, what say, Dara Doyle? You know, he has brought in a couple of ringers in the past. Not all have worked out, obviously, but I think, like, has Rodden scored very many goals this season for Drogheda, just as I think of it?
Godden.
So there you go.
He scored on the first night. I don't know if he scored since.
Yeah. So, you know, that has obviously fallen away, to say the least. But I think there might be, like you mentioned, fringe players in the league. I can't even think of a player that you get into.
No.
You know, it's kind of like a money ball situation. We're losing two ringers. Let's bring in eight lads.
Yeah.
To sort them out.
Spurs bail money that time.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously we saw how that didn't work because you can't just put more players on the pitch.
Hmm.
I don't think those two players are quite replaceable. Maybe if some money comes in for either or both.
I think the talk is that the release fee for Ruby is quite minimal.
Yeah, that's true. But like, you know, could you convince, you know, maybe offer him a new deal, offer him similar money, I don't know, offer him, you know, something, whatever. As we just talked about between Ringman and Buzz, pick up the phone. You know, he's right there in front of you. Well, Ruby, what's the crack? What do you think about staying with us for the rest of the season, you know? So, yeah, it is a difficult one. It's always more difficult, you know, if he is going to the UK. They're, you know, they're in the middle of setting up their squads at the moment. You know, it's not going to be, oh, we'll take him, give you back to him.
Yeah,
give him back on loan or anything like that.
No.
So yeah. It is troublesome. I think Kidder's gonna have to come out with a real trump card or something here to mitigate those two losses, because it would be serious damage to Dundalk.
And elsewhere, Afolabi been linked to Shamrock Rovers. Bows fans will absolutely love that, but probably I don't think he's done that well since he left Ireland, but at the same time,
division in Belgium he was playing with?
Second or third, yeah. But you couldn't really see it as a negative, because I suppose we haven't seen much of Gaffney this season. Aaron Green's not getting any younger now. I always say, I think John McGovern...
He did score the other day, Green, and he scored the week before. Yeah,
still, still. John McGovern, I always say he probably walk into most 11s in the country. He kind of a bit part player for Rovers. They're probably going to lose Noonan sooner rather than later. So to get another number nine in the building is probably not the worst idea in the world, particularly maybe with a busy European campaign coming up and a player that has proven League of Ireland pedigree. So, I can see why it'd be an attractive signing.
Yeah, it would be, relatively proven in the division. I think the quality that would be around him would obviously be very helpful. I'm not really surprised that they're in for him, as you mentioned, with Noonan going. Was there talk about Brennan taking off?
Adam Brennan.
Mm.
I didn't hear that now, but
I might have dreamt that in Tralee at the weekend. Not sure. Yeah. I'm.
No, I just
have a quick
Google. I don't see any stories anywhere. But right, so that's some of the hot topics this week. Elsewhere, just to run through the results from Friday in the Premier Division: Shamrock Rovers 3, Galway 1. Galway's horrific run in that fixture continues. Derry City 2, Drogheda 0. It seems to have quietened down a little bit at the Brandywell, and has to be said that new surface looks absolutely top class. Dundalk 2, Waterford 3. I watched back most of this game while we were recovering in Tralee the other day, and it looked an absolute belter, but hugely surprising result given I think Dundalk were 2-0 ahead and Waterford come back to win by 3-2. I don't know who was responsible for those long throw-ins, but Jesus, they were absolute weapons and Dundalk just didn't deal with them that well, unfortunately. But look, we'd been kind of tipping this up a little bit, that there was signs of shoots of recovery for Waterford since the new manager came in, and this is an absolutely massive result for them.
Yeah, it's sensational. It has to be said, a result that probably no one was expecting. I think it really puts the frighteners on Sligo and Drogheda, because you know they were so far off it, but at least they were so far off it in the early part of the season. You know, you can't win a title in the early part, but you can lose it. And they made a good fist of losing their Premier Division status, but they're really closing the gap, and they just look more competent.
Mm.
You know, that's an amazing. Well, it's not an amazing comment, but like, you know, it is a kind of odd comment to make at the same time, because like there were some of the games there at the start of the season where, honest God, if they booted the ball into their own net, would it look better than some of the shit that they were at from a defensive point of view? It was absolutely dire. So it seems like they have, I know they conceded two at the weekend, but they're still, it seems like they have a bit of belief in them now that they can actually challenge and do something and pick up some results even on the road. So that's a dangerous combination. I think what was always kind of in the back of our minds, I know you mentioned it a few times, like Londigan, Podge Amond.
Yeah.
These lads can score. These lads will get goals. And that was something that we, excuse me, even mentioned about Sligo, you know, who's going to get the goals for them. So that could be a problem as we look into the second half of the year.
Yeah, speaking of Sligo, they played out 2-2 draw with Shells, as we said. Elsewhere, Bowes beat Pats by 2-0. I think this is what we talked about a bit last week when we were kind of talking about the title race, that you just feel that Pats probably have more of these results in them than Shamrock Rovers will. What are Rovers clear? 7 points clear now. I know Pats still have 2 games in hand on them, but it did feel like a fairly significant night the other night, seeing Rovers win comfortably and Pats losing to Bowes.
Yeah, it was. Look, you have to look at like decisions that were made by Pats. I think that was a useless tackle from Sean Hoare, really. I don't think we've talked about Sean Hoare positively since he ended up in Inchicore at all. I thought it was a strange move at the time. And it's becoming more baffling as time goes on, really. It was a really terrible challenge. But then they get bailed out.
No, I was just going to say, some people have said it wasn't a penalty. I just think the manner of the defending, you're taking yourself completely out of the game there. You're sitting yourself down in the box, sticking out a kind of a lazy leg.
You're
just begging for the defender to go, or the attacker to go over it, really. I thought it was a really poor piece of defending from Sean Hoare.
Yeah, no, it was shite. It was absolutely dire. I you can argue the point. Do you know what I mean? Like, even like, you know, I was arguing, you know, it still wasn't a red card or even free kick against Cian Moore for Longford Town there last week. But also, Cian Moore, you know, did exit the box. I know that's not really a consideration of the ref. But also at the same time, he did enter into a challenge, and a decision had to be made by the referee. So, you know, decisions do change games from both the referee and the player. And while, yeah, it mightn't have been a penalty, he still shouldn't have been doing what he did. And, you know, I don't know how Sean Hoare is getting games at all, to be quite honest. But then Hickey, you know, bails them out, or almost bails them out, gets sent off himself a few minutes later. And, you know, it definitely would have changed the feeling, I'm sure, in the Pats dressing room going into half time. Right, we're 1-0 down, we're away from home, not playing fantastic. But we do manage to get a player sent off. And it was the second yellow card, it wasn't a red card, it was a second yellow, didn't get the ball or appear to go for the ball. Good decision by the ref there. And good closing down as well, to put to put Hickey under pressure. Good result though, all the same. For Bowes, it was a difficult game, and good to get another win on the board.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing thing from Pats, even when they had the extra man, they didn't create anything of note, really.
Well, that's the concern. You know, they did have a few chances, a few bits and pieces around the box. Probably stuff that they should have done a bit better with. I think El Bezzetti was playing. I know he scored that. Didn't he score an absolute rasper there a couple of months ago, if you remember? I think it was against Sligo or Waterford or something like that. They filled someone in. They're kind of like, all right, you know, the boys are back. You know, everybody's, we're getting fit now. We're starting to click. We were shite for most of the year last year. Can we get it going now? And unfortunately, these players aren't cutting the mustard. Yeah, it's disappointing. No doubt about it. Don't know where. Like they will pick up enough points to stay in around second or third place, but I don't think they're going to mount any challenge of note. And the final piece I'll say about this is it's Sean McRover's title.
What are we in? End of June, you're calling it?
I can't really see much else, to be quite honest. And
I think most people think the same way.
Yeah, I do. And they're right, once they agree with me.
Just a final word on that Sligo Rovers game, actually. We had mentioned them last week that for a fella that hadn't scored all season, that Traore looked a bit more lively and that maybe something was
great
coming.
Finish.
And he scored his first goal, but that's the end of his loan spell now.
Yeah.
Talk about timing.
Thanks very much, lad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, don't fall in love with a loan player.
Yeah, that is very true. But look, hopefully they'll need a big summer window there, Sligo Rovers. Maybe spend some of that Elding money. They're actually playing Rovers tonight in a friendly. Hibs, I think Owen Elding is part of the squad there.
Oh, very nice. Where that in Sligo, is it?
No, in Tallaght, they're playing Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Sorry, I thought it was Sligo you mentioned.
Sorry, I must have. I probably did say that. Just looking to see. Rovers bet them.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Scored.
I don't know. I'm just looking very quickly here at Twitter, but anyway. Fair play.
Beautiful.
Who did score, I wonder? Luke O'Regan. So, looks like it was a young Rovers team.
Well done, Luke.
Yep. Anyway, First Division. Kerry 2, Longford 1. Cork City 2, Bray 0. Wexford 0, Tradie 0. UCD 2, Cove 0. And Athlone 1, Harps 1. I suppose before we get to the Longford trip to Tralee. Will people like to hear how our trip went? Good time, wasn't it, until the football started? It was a bit like our Irish trips. That's generally how they work out. Great trip, shy football. This fell into the same category.
Yeah, it did. Incredibly poor performance, I thought, from Longford Town.
I thought it was an incredibly, incredibly poor game of football. Full stop.
It was.
I thought the standard of the game really summed up the first division this season.
I don't want to make any.
I know you're not on the same kind of. I think you've been a bit more positive about the first division this season. I wouldn't be. I think the standard's really, really poor.
I completely disagree with that, to be quite honest. I think there's been some very good games, very enjoyable games, some nice bits of football. I thought Longford Town's goal the other night was incredibly well done.
Yeah, it was a great goal.
Really good finish. But yeah, Longford Town, there's nothing impressive about that Kerry team at all, to be quite honest. I know they released a couple of players there the other day. Killian Cantwell was released, was he? And
yeah, surprised about that one, but I couldn't see that Kerry team been in the top five, to be honest.
No, definitely not. But also at the same time, other teams around them need to go on and take it off them.
Well, you've been quite critical of Wexford, I suppose. Maybe not critical, but you've flagged up a couple of concerns you have about them, and you look at a result like that 0-0 at home to Treaty. They're leaving the door open for the likes of Kerry and Longford, even though I don't believe those teams are good enough to finish in the top five, to be honest.
You don't think Kerry and Longford are good enough to finish in the top five?
No.
So who? Sorry, just on that. So Cork, UCD, Bray. Who else is in the top five for you?
Cork, UCD, Bray, Cove and Wexford are currently there.
Longford Town are way better than Wexford. That's a fact.
They're 2 points worse off than them right now.
Mm.
The big concern with Longford is that it's the complete lack of creativity in the team.
I don't fully agree with that either. Like, I think Longford Town have scored a lot more goals in the last few weeks. There is creativity there. I think there's I don't know. It's very hard for me to put my finger on what's going on. Like, they're not dominating games the way they should. I'm not saying that, you know, they're playing total football and, you know, are like crushing teams or anything like that. I just said, like, that game on Friday should have never occurred from a Longford Town point of view. They're a better footballing team than Kerry. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I just don't think they create enough chances.
Yeah, probably not. But like I would say, I think the feature of the game from a Longford point of view, apart from losing, was they had two or three pullbacks the other night.
Yeah, but a pullback to the edge of the area is not a major chance.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying that seemed to be the chances that they were creating night. Yeah. And every single one of them went into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. You can't do all that work in a place that you have historically struggled in over the last number of years and not get shots on target. Do you know what I mean? It's something. And actually, just the final piece in this game, it is a criticism that I've had of Longford Town all year long. They don't take enough shots. They get to the right position, and then there's about, okay, we're 2 yards from the goal line. Let's see if we can pass it another 1,200 times before someone takes a shot. You know, how many times have we said that before? What was that game actually? I think Andy Parrish have scored the winner. But then someone passed it to him across the box from about 4 yards out.
Yeah, I can't remember the game, but...
Just let me finish the point. I think when talking to him after, he was like, I don't know how that happened.
Mm.
Just kick the ball into the goals, lad. Do you know what I mean? So if you know, I've definitely identified as a fan, we haven't been taking enough shots. Well, Jesus, it's great that we weren't taking enough shots. If when we do take enough shots, all the balls end up in the Atlantic. So something has to change if Longford Town want to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Just on our trip to Tralee, big shout out to the Castle Bar. Was that where we were?
That was it. Look, good feeding Kirby's. Straight down to the bar then, and then out to the game.
Well looked after there. Nice pool table. Happy enough to let us sing a few songs and just do what we wanted, really, within reason. So, no, great bunch of lads. Would recommend that bar to any away fans travelling down.
Yeah, and then what, only a 15-minute walk maybe out to the ground?
Yeah, up the Greenway. If you get nice weather, it's a grand job. Few points afterwards around different places. Kebab. Can't really remember the kebab. Don't think it was great from what I do remember. So it was a late one. But no, we had a very good time. But it definitely, as an away fan, I would recommend the Castle Bar there. Good old spot.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's really nice old town. Obviously, every town looks better in the sun.
Yeah. Would have been a bit disappointed with the crowd at the game. We've seen the numbers dwindling a little bit, but that's I haven't been there in the last couple of seasons. That's the smallest Kerry crowd I've seen there in my three or four trips to Tralee. So it does feel like that there's a little bit of interest sliding away. Now, I know Kerry Gaelic team were in a All-Ireland quarterfinal at the weekend. That obviously wouldn't have helped matters, but
just, that was on a different day.
I know, just a small bit concerning there that interest does seem to have dwindled a little bit.
You know, it's no matter what way you slice it, it's tough going and slogging down at the bottom of the first division. We know all about it.
We kind of touched on Wexford Treaty. That was kind of the other notable one. We talked about the Harp situation last week. I don't know, is there anything else really to pick up on there first division wise?
Not a whole pile. I think one definite concern, Ben Feeney got sent off for a loan last week. And Botto gets against Duff for Athlone this week.
I do think they're 5 points off the bottom. Is that right? No, they're more than that.
Athlone.
Yeah, they're
7 points off bottom.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if they finish bottom.
I don't think I think they'll be duking it out with Treaty, to be honest. And Finn Harps.
Decent result for Treaty to go to Wexford and get a point. I think we've been fairly positive on Treaty that they're not as bad as the table makes them look. Harps would be hoping if things go their way investment-wise, they might get a bit of a boost. Mm-hmm. Might be next season before you really see any impact for that. But I do think they're your bottom three, most definitely. Athlone, Finn Harps and Treaty.
Yeah. Please God.
They're currently the bottom three. I'm not breaking any news there, but I just think, I think Athlone in eighth at the moment. I wouldn't see them finishing any higher than that.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless something happens in the summer window.
I don't think enough will be done in the summer window to arrest that.
We'll go into the predictions league. So,
we'll update
everyone on how last week went. You had another absolutely fantastic week, it has to be said. You got three correct scores and two correct results. Correct score.
Now, that's only 50% strike rate now. Not
correct score: Rovers Galway, Cork Bray, and UCD Cove. Correct results: Derry Drogheda and Boas Pat. So, you got 11 points last week. That's the fourth consecutive week in a row you've got at least 10 points. That's amazing shooting, it has to be said.
Racking them up.
Yeah. Listeners, 5 points last week, and myself, just the 6 points last week. So a huge lead for Gary now. Definitely, this one's all over. you've got a 32-point lead on the listeners.
Wow.
And you've got a 41-point lead on me.
Mopping it up. Amazing how I just managed to pull it over the fire when we have an independent point counter.
Yeah, thanks to Carol Kelly.
Yeah, great stuff. Where are we starting with?
Well, let's pick a listener to play this week, first of all. I did spot a new name there, even though he's got an Ipswich Town thing as his Twitter avi. We're not mad about that, but we'll go with Barry McNeil here this week. I'm sure he does follow the League of Ireland. And we are starting with the First Division, Bray against Athlone. He's going for a 2-0 win to Bray.
Yeah, I could definitely see something like that happening. Athlone probably with a few suspensions to deal with as well. And they're playing quite poorly. When was that time they won a game?
Athlone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a while, isn't it? one of the few things I've called right this season that there would be an Athlone slide.
Good man. I'll follow the 2-0 prediction. I think that's a fair one.
Their last win was up in Ballybuffet on the 24th of April.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's over 2 months since they won again.
That's right.
You're going 2-0? 2-0?
2-0 to Bray.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'll follow you all there, 2-0. Moving along, Treaty United against Kerry FC.
I think Treaty, this is very doable for them. That, as you mentioned, a good result away to Wexford. I saw nothing in Kerry there the other night, even though they beat Longford. I would be concerned that Treaty just don't score a whole bag of goals. I'll go for 1-0 to Treaty.
You're going to go 1-0 to Treaty. I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw there. And Barry, where are you going, tell me, Barry? He's going for a 1-0 win to Treaty as well.
Good man, Baz.
The Cork Derby between Ramblers and City at St. Coleman's Park.
Do you think you've seen anything in Cove to see if they can get one over here on Cork?
Well, I missed Longford's last game against them, didn't I? Did I?
Yeah, Cove are garbage.
And then the first game, I didn't get a true really reading of them because it was played in a hurricane, if you remember rightly. So, look, Cork did a game last week, and every game at the minute they don't really need to win, but 2-0 winners, they're clinical. Keaton got a couple of goals after a slow start to the season. So, I think earlier in the season, though, did Cove take points off them earlier in the season, if I remember rightly?
They won their first ever game or something like that in Turner's Cross.
That was Kerry, was it not? No? Or maybe, sorry, you're right. Yeah, that was that bank holiday where Kerry and Cove both beat them.
Yeah. But I think it was the first time Cove had won in Turner's Cross.
Ever. Ever, I think so, yeah.
Well, was it this version of Cork or which is ever? What's forever down in Cork? It's hard to know.
I'll go 1-0 Cork City.
Yeah, I'll follow you there.
Okay, and
I'll go 2-0 Cork.
Okay, you're following Barry again on that one, 2-0. Finn Harps against Wexford.
Ooh. I could see Harps getting something out of this game. I'm not convinced by Wexford. I'm going to go 2-1 to Harps.
Okay. Barry goes 1-1 in that one. Two teams that are not in great form. Finn Harps haven't won any of their last six, and Wexford only have one win in their last 8 games. That came at home. So, I think Wexford will turn it around here 1-0.
Okay.
Longford against UCD.
Well, you were filling us in, you were poisoning our brain there today with recent statistics about this game, weren't you?
I was. Now, look, the one thing about Longford is that they can beat anyone at home on their day.
Mm-hmm.
UCD, I'd say probably one of the better away records. I think I'm right in saying the third best away record. Check that. Yeah, third best away record. Now, they've lost 4 of 10. It's not brilliant. And they've actually lost 2 of their last 3 away from home against Wexford and against Cork. They are playing one of the teams in the bottom half here. Longford have won 2 of their last... They've won their last 2 at home. But I think what was one of the stats I said to you, I think it's 12 games over 90 minutes that they've failed to beat UCD. So this fixture, they don't have a good record in it.
Are we going back to the playoff win in 2020?
That was obviously a draw, and Longford won in extra time.
That's correct. The
meeting before that in the regular season, Longford won 3-1. So it's 2020 we're going back to.
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah, Shane Elberty scored a great goal.
Is that right?
Yeah. Is that right? You remember it well, lad. You dream about it all the time.
Problem I have here is what I talked about earlier. Longford not creating enough chances. UCD are quite good defensively. So that's a concern I have. UCD, they actually love coming down to Longford because the pitch is always in such good nick. It suits them down to the ground.
Yeah.
Just given Longford's history in this fixture, it's difficult to fancy a Longford win here given their performance last Friday and their record in this fixture.
Yeah, well, look, I think Longford should be looking at this game as, I know it's obviously a very tight and.
Oh, no, every home game is a chance for them to pick up points. There's no doubt.
No, there's no doubt. But I think if Longford want to make a stab at the playoffs this season, it needs to be a different looking Longford team on Saturday. I think they'll do that, though. I think, I think when you started telling me all this shite about these facts about this game, you know, oh, Cape Verde got their first point in the World Cup against Spain. You know, then they had no points before that. So why can't Longford, you know, book a few trends themselves? I'm going to go 1-0 to Longford.
Okay, Barry, it must be your burner account. He's gone for a 2-1 win to Longford.
Well, you see, he just sees the table and the predictions league every week. Mm-hmm. I was like, this lad knows what he's talking about. That's what he's saying.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Into the Premier Division, Derry against Waterford has said things quieting down a little bit of Derry. It wouldn't take much for things to turn the other way.
Oh, though, God, yeah. A bad burger would turn that place all over the shop again.
This is a tricky fixture too.
It is.
To be said.
It is. Didn't Waterford go 2-0 up in this fixture?
Yep, they did.
But Derry pulled it out of the fire in the last minute.
Yeah.
And then, the game down in Waterford, it took like a 96-minute equaliser to pull Derry out of the fire down there.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Waterford flying after their nice little away win. This game is in the Brandywell.
It is.
Right? 2-2.
Ooh. 2-2. What's Barry going here? He's going 2-1 to Derry.
Ooh!
I do think there'll be goals. Oh, it's tough. Might follow you since you're in such good form, 2-2.
Yeah. Derry fans won't like to hear that.
Pats against Galway feels like these only played each other like yesterday. It is the one downside of a 10-team league is the repetitiveness of it.
Yeah. Well, look, it's something that we're quite used to, obviously. Actually, just when I think of Galway,
it's actually a while. It's 1st of May was when they last played, so no, it's a month ago.
It was 2 months ago. I'm going to hijack this thing. If anybody has the video of Ed McCarthy getting his head roared off when he was taking a throw-in against, I think it was Shamrock Rovers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Please tweet it to the pod. I would love to have that video. Thank you very much. The Pats Galway game. I think Pats would be really looking to get one over here on Galway. But also like that, they have to start, you know, putting a few points on the board, getting away from this stuff because, you know, they're going to be playing without, you know, they're going to be catching up on games themselves with, you know, on the teams like Rovers and Bows ahead of them. So, well, they can't like let too many points get in between the two, even though they do have the games in hand. But I think they need to hit the ground running. They'll look at that game that Rovers put in, won't see too much to be fearful of, even though that is a historically hard game for Galway to do well in. I'll go 2-1 to Pats.
I think this will be a tough game for Pats. It's always a tight game. They drew 2-2 when they last met. Before that, they won 1-0. Before that, it was 1-1. And go back to last season in the Cup, Pats needed extra time to get past Galway. And in the meeting before that in the league, Galway won 3-1. I think that was the game where, was that the game where Kenny wanted it rearranged because of Europe and everything?
Possibly not. And he was
maybe was that a couple of seasons ago? I can't remember. But anyway, they've found this game tough. I was at their game against Sligo, obviously, and it took them two very late goals to break Sligo down. created very little against Bowes, so I'd be worried about the lack of chance creation in recent games. I think they might find it difficult here. Now, Galway don't score many goals themselves, so that is a concern. If it's going to be a Pats win, it's going to be by a late goal. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Probably silly. Probably should be going for maybe a Pats 1-0 win. I think they've got a very good home record, but that's the way I'm going to go. As for Barry, where has he gone? Pats 1-0. He's gone 1-0 Pats. That's probably what I should have gone for. Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers.
Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers. Is this on Saturday or Friday?
I think it's on Friday. Let me just double check that for you. It is on Friday, yeah.
Oh, why is that, you know?
Probably women playing Saturday, possibly. I'm not sure.
Women?
The Sligo women could be playing on Saturday.
That oh, fair enough. I was just like, oh, women playing on Saturday. Okay. Don't really see much else other than a Shamrock Rovers win. I'll go 2-1 to Shamrock Rovers.
Of course, Sligo Rovers beat Shamrock Rovers in Tallaght when they last met.
Yeah, but that's the one odd one out.
Yeah, but they've beaten them in two of their last three, and both of them wins were in Tallaght.
Yeah, and they lost in the showgrounds, right?
They did. I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All right then.
They beat them here last year. They've actually got a decent record in this fixture compared to a lot of teams against Shamrock Rovers. Played okay against Shelburne.
Played okay the other night, threw away the two goal lead.
Mm.
Like a Paddy Barrett volley. That's what loses you 2 points. Get no way. don't talk to me.
Look, I am down and out with this predictions league anyway, so I'm gonna go one. There's been like one mad result every week for the last number of weeks. I'm gonna go 1-0 Sligo Rovers.
Fair ball. What was the mad result this week?
Waterford.
Oh, true. Yeah.
No.
Waterford won.
Barry, possibly a Shamrock Rovers fan because he's called them Sham. Sorry, a Sligo Rovers fan because he's called them Shams. That's usually a giveaway. He's going 3-1 to Shams.
Okay.
Shells against Dundalk. This is the TV game on Friday.
Oh, good game. Good game, especially with Lorcan Fitzgerald is taking the Shells team for the minute, is he?
Yeah. They played a belter earlier in the season as well. Dundalk went up there and won 3-2, I think I'm right in saying. So hopefully be a good game.
But this is in Oriel Park.
No, it's in Talca.
Oh, Talca, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. Do you think Clark will be able to do that about the Shells home form? Could a Ruby be gone tomorrow? Could Kenny be gone tomorrow? Recording on the 30th of June right now.
Yeah.
Some town in England be announcing one of those two players that some town that we never heard of in England.
What's your prediction here?
Very hard to know, just because of the window. We're thinking that these two teams need a bit of. Well, Dundalk might need replenishing. Shells definitely need replenishing. Someone up front. Here's a quick question for you, just away from the game. Could Shells go in for a Ruby? If there's a smaller release fee? I don't know why he would.
Yeah.
They could definitely offer probably a few more pound.
Great shout.
I'll tell you one thing. If
he was a Shelburne, they let him through their fingers.
Yeah, well, you know, welcome home, the prodigal son. Just saying, it's something to consider because, you know, you get rid of your manager. He's like, "Jizz, lads, we can't score goals. We're shite at home. Get manager gone." I'm not sure manager getting replaced or sacked is going to exactly turn on the taps for goals being scored at the other end, you know? I don't know.
It's hard to side with Shells. It's hard to side with Shells given their home form.
It really is, yeah, it is. I do think, though, it'll be a tighter game. I'm going to go 1-1 here.
Yeah, I think I'll follow you as well. And Barry is going for a 2-0 win to Dundalk, which would be some results. And that leaves us then with Drogheda against Bohemians.
Ooh, tough game. Do you give Boz a chance much? What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, you know I've been concerned about Drogheda now for a good few weeks. So Boz on a good run of form, going through one of those little streaky but good streaky patches at the minute that we like to talk about.
Let me see. Who did Drogheda play last week?
Lost to Derry.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't won since they beat Derry 7 games ago.
Yeah, that's a long old time. Pressure might is mounting. Obviously, Boz, you know, had a good result, obviously. Hitting up the Drogheda. I'll go 2-1 to Drogheda.
You're going 2-1 to Drogheda?
Yeah.
What's the basis for that?
Absolutely not much gut feeling. I know Boz had a good result to be without Hickey though on Friday, which would be a problem. I think there just might be a bit of pressure on Drogheda, which is might just help them over the line.
I was at the 0-0 earlier in the season in Drogheda between these two.
And how bad was it?
That was actually okay. A lot of missed chances on both ends. And let me just look at that Drogheda team that played the other night. I just want to have a look. I'm going to go for another 0-0.
Fair enough. And I suppose it might squeeze it out if you're going for a 0-0, no?
No.
Okay.
Going to go 0-0. Barry's going 3-0 to Boz. So he's gone for a Dundalk win and a 3-0 win for Boz against Drogheda. He could possibly be a Dundalk fan either.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll give us the answer next week.
Okay.
Right, charity bet time, my friend.
How bad did we do last week while we're here?
That Dundalk result killed, I think, me, and I think there was a surprise result.
Half the country.
Yeah, no, there was a couple of surprise results last week.
Okay.
Just looking back last week, Wexford was the other one, sorry. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Now, you kept them out. You had a feeling they'd fill the togs, but yeah. I think the dock was definitely in yours, all right.
Yeah, okay. Pat?
Right, let me log you in here. Apologies for the clicking in the background, everybody. Right, okay, so you're going to go Pats.
Yeah.
Pats to win at home, okay?
Yeah. Bray.
Bray Wanderers to win at home.
Mm-hmm. Finn Harps.
Okay. You're over 9-1 there now.
Okay, can I be a pain in the hole?
Uh-huh.
Can you replace Harps with Treaty?
Okay. Reduces the odds significantly. You're just under 5-1 there.
I think that's fine.
Okay. So Pats, Bray, Treaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very different looking ACCA to usual now. Different teams in there. So maybe that'll bring us a change of fortune.
Can I just ask you one final question?
Yeah.
What if you put Longford Town in there?
It's too late. I've locked you in.
All right, okay.
Never mind. If you, just to give you your answer, it would have been over 21-1.
Ooh.
It's too late now.
Okay.
Right, I am going to go... them Premier Division games are fairly difficult, aren't they? I think I'll go... I went for Sligo Rovers winning the predictions league, so I can't go for Shamrock Rovers. I think I'll just stay away from them Premier Division games altogether. Right, Bray to win at home to Athlone. Go for Cork to win in Cove, although I'm not entirely wedded to that idea.
Probably shite odds, are they?
I think I'm just going to stick to the two this week and just get some money in the... That's 29 quid there.
So who's it?
Bray and Cork.
Bray and Cork. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking at the other games and I just really don't fancy anything. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and be somewhat sensible this week.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
So that's this week's charity bet, sponsored very kindly by Bar One Betting. You can get odds and markets and everything you need for those games on their website and on their app. Always gamble responsibly. It's for over 18s only, of course. Visit gamblingcare.ie. That brings us to the hotline, Gary. Let's just...
Where we go on?
Get it up on the screen here. Okay. We've got a tweet from Owen. If you haven't recorded yet, champions of Leinster. So forgot to mention about the Leinster Senior Cup final was tonight, and it looks by the sounds of things. Bray have won in front of a crowd of over 2,000 people.
What?
Beat St. Pat's tonight at the Carlisle.
Well, what was the score in that game?
Looks like it was possibly 1-0.
Jesus, huh?
Be interesting to see what sort of teams were fielded for that, actually.
From what I understand,
they won 2-1, Bray.
Oh, okay.
Pat's 11, Forrester was in it, McClellan was in it, Nugent was in it, so a few first teamers.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think Bray would have been obviously a fairly full strength team. Nice to get a bit of silverware, of course. So, no, well done.
Yeah, better than a kick in the hole.
Yeah. Fairly strong Bray team, all right. No, well done to them. There you go. Owen, congratulations. It's always nice to get a bit of silverware, no matter what it is.
Yeah. You remember this night for the rest of your life, lad.
Funny enough, when Longford got to the final in 2014 against Pats, there was a good crowd out at it by Longford midweek standards. There was, I think, 700 or 800 out at it. So
Jesus.
For clubs in the first division, I suppose, you know.
Did we win that?
No, we lost. We've never won the Leinster Senior Cup.
Oh, just the Junior Cup.
Great history in the Junior Cup.
Storied history.
Daniel says Groves, that's Wayne Groves, the Longford manager, needs to use his bench more. Won't be making that. Won't be in a rush to make that trip again. So that's not good to hear. Think it was strange the subs were left so late the other night. Owen, again, I'll give you the 2-for-1 this week. Bray, not bad against Cork, just not enough quality to test them. Gifting them a goal after 5 minutes never helps. Hopefully can get squad depth and defence sorted in the window. Two weakest points. Other than that, other than the waveform being unacceptable, we're not in a bad spot. Nathan Riley, massive win for Kerry FC. Borden with his best performance for the club so far. Wouldn't take much
after the shite we saw before. Jesus.
Longford bottled it at the end, so I can understand why their fans weren't happy with the players after the game. Hope you enjoyed the day down in Tralee. We must keep up the good form by beating Tralee.
Just on that, excuse me, while we were in the Castle Bar, there was a Kerry FC well-wisher, and I think I don't think he was one of the fans that might have been going to too many games, to be honest, but he did actually know that Kerry hadn't lost a game in a good while. They have a bit of an unbeaten situation, so you know, fair play to them. Just on the form point is my main point.
Okay. Lord Chuckles Academy, unfortunate we're without another striker again after the departure of Mai Chirore. All the best to him, despite only one goal for us, which turned out to be the difference against Shells. Only got a draw, though. It's been a catastrophic season by all accounts thus far. The horrors persist, but so do we, he says, I believe. Look, hopefully didn't get a striker in the window. Stephen, how bad are the match officials? It's getting worse every week. I asked him what game he was referencing. He said the Stonewall penalty Longford should have had, and he doesn't know how the Lino didn't give that goal for Bowes. I don't know what incident he's referring in the Longford game, because Longford should not have had a penalty in that game.
What?
There was no penalty call for Longford in that game against Kerry on Friday. I consumed a lot of alcohol, but I don't remember.
Yeah. We were over trees.
I remember Parishive going down inside the area, but it was right in front of me, and no way in hell was it a penalty.
No, it wasn't a pen.
So,
what about?
I know we like to give the refs a hard time, but I didn't see
anyone. Oh, look, I'm first in the queue to give the ref a hard time. Make no mistake. So, but I can't remember any particular incident. No. That should have been a red card.
No. Jason O'Sullivan, Kerry FC, 3 wins in a row for the first time in our short history. We actually didn't spot that. So that's yeah, well done to them on that. Yeah, hopefully turning a corner in flying form and only 2 points off the playoffs. Massive games coming up for us. Hope you had a good time down in Tralee. We certainly did. Thank you. Another Kerry fan, Sean Keller. Saw from the stand what looked like a few harsh words been exchanged between the away fans and the Longford players at full-time in Mount Hawk. Are you legally able to shed some light on that? In all seriousness, hope you got home okay. Great away support. We're obviously not going to really comment on that, but there was a reply from a Longford supporter, Zaki. He says, the fact only a handful of players came over at full-time was one of the main issues. As for the harsh words, if saying that performance wasn't good enough and we know that they are better than that, and to sort themselves out for next week is harsh, then so be it. So I think he's probably, I think Zaki's response there probably sums up the situation. And Dara says, why would the FAI not let the Ringmahon game be rescheduled to Friday? And as a couple of people have pointed out, they're due to play in Gibraltar on the Thursday. So we did tackle that Ringmahon issue at the top of the show.
Big money spinner for Bo's that trip.
Well, look, that's it for this week.
Yeah, Sinead. Looking forward to getting back to Bishopsgate on Saturday.
France, Sweden on in the background here, currently scoreless. Ronald Koeman gone as the Netherlands head coach after last night as well.
No big shock there.
Breaking news on the pod, maybe in for the Shell's job, perhaps.
Well, look, he heard about it. He was like, look, boys, I don't want to give this another go.
Total football coming to Talca soon.
Total football. Well, look, I have no great growth for the Netherlands at all, so no issue that they're out. Just on while we're getting into that later on in the season type of scope, who are you fancying to go far, or do you have anybody in mind?
In what?
The World Cup.
Sorry, you said later in the season.
Later in the competition.
I think it's between Spain. I think Spain, Portugal. To give you the boring. Sorry, Spain, France. To give you the very boring answer.
Okay.
Although Messi is cooking.
He is cooking with gas. There is no doubt.
And
about
I think they seem to have a decent run as well. So.
All right. Like they have fixtures or.
Yeah, well, they've obviously got Cape Verde on Friday. Pico.
Oh, you think they'll beat Cape Verde, do you?
Pico fans won't be happy with that one, but they should get through that. And then I can't remember who they have in the next, but I think it was favourable enough.
Right. I don't think Spain will do anything, to be honest. I think they're pretending a bit. I would be more trusting of France.
Yeah.
To be honest, but obviously, you know, they have their ability to shit the togs at any given second. So, you know, they have to watch out for that too. I think France would be the.
Since you're in such good form in the predictions league, just give us one word answers on these World Cup games. Mexico, Ecuador.
Mexico.
England, Congo.
England.
Belgium, Senegal.
Senegal.
USA, Bosnia.
USA.
Spain, Austria.
Spain.
Portugal, Croatia.
Portugal.
Switzerland, Algeria.
Switzerland.
Australia, Egypt.
Egypt.
Argentina, Cape Verde.
Argentina.
And Colombia, Ghana.
Colombia.
And quarterfinal, or last 16, Canada, Morocco.
Morocco.
Is that all the games that are confirmed? And Brazil, Norway.
Oh, sorry.
Wasn't that impressed with Brazil yesterday. Was watching Norway there too. Wasn't that impressed. I think Brazil will just have enough.
Yeah, I think
Vinny Jr. would be the difference, I think.
Yeah, I think Haaland will score, but the one thing, they just don't have a second even like shadow of Haaland. Whereas like there's a few game changers on the Brazil team. They're not a classic Brazil team. Like,
no,
you will forget every single player, maybe apart from Alisson and maybe Casemiro and Vinny. Like, there's no players you'd be like, oh, jeez, remember him from 30 years ago?
Yeah,
you know, they don't have it. I think Brazil will shave it.
I think so. Right, very good. Thanks for that.
You're very welcome. Do I get 3 points for all of those?
Oh, sure, look, we might as well give you whatever you want now at this stage. look, that was this week's pod. As ever, we ask you if you can please give us a follow on Spotify or on Apple, wherever you're listening. Leave a rate and a review. Get in touch with us on either X or via our TikTok or via our email, which is betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. X probably the easiest way to get us though. But that was it for this week. So from Kieran Burke and from Gary Riley, from our sponsors, Quinn AV, and from Bar One Betting, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. Enjoy the league games coming up this week. And we'll chat to you again next week, hopefully.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.